Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Several times from this one psalm, the words are found, "Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord." Verse 1, verse 2, verse 20, and verse 22. Twice in verse 22. "Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion." He has dominion, says in Psalm 72, from sea to sea. His dominion, His reign is everywhere. Well, bless the Lord for all His works. The work of grace, the work of redemption. Bless the Lord for all His work. Bless the Lord for all His dominion in all places. Aren't you glad and thankful that the Lord our God is sovereign, that He rules and reigns over all things? So it's not anything of a mystery that the title of the message that I'm giving to this psalm, as it's repeated here 4 or 5 times, "Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord." Now, this is the occupation and delight of every believer, to bless the Lord. And it's not this religious hypocrisy that you see going on in religious circles today, when out of every other breath they say, "Amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, brother." It's not that religious jargon that goes on in religious circles. But this is rather the heart cry of every believer. This is occupation, delight of every believer to extol Him, to exalt Him, to praise Him as He ought to be praised, to honor Him, to worship Him like we ought to, like we will someday. You read there in the Revelation 5 when the redeemed of the Lord sing unto the Lamb, "He is worthy to receive all honor, glory, and blessing, both now and forever." Someone might say, we worship and honor and praise and exalt God our Savior. Serve Him and honor Him. Someone might say that those who are opposed to the gospel of God's grace, they may come with an argument like this: "Well, you give Him too much honor, too much glory. You exalt Him too highly." Can you exalt the Lord too high? Can you give Him too much honor and too much glory? Absolutely not. I'd like to be guilty of trying to do that, of honoring the Lord. Now, some have said of this psalm, and I read the commentators when I look at these psalms and ask the Lord to help me, and I use the thoughts of other men to kind of provoke my thoughts and then cry unto the Lord for direction. But some have said of this psalm, it is a condensed version of the Bible, for it contains all the great works of God in creation, in redemption, in providence, in grace, and in salvation. There's really not, in this psalm, when you read it carefully, there's really not one petition asking the Lord for anything. It's just giving thanks. Giving thanks. He has blessed us, and we give thanks. The name of Jehovah is mentioned 11 times. God our Savior. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Rapha. The name of our God and Savior is mentioned 11 times in these 22 verses. And it's a psalm that praises the Lord. Now, we've learned that from our study through these psalms, haven't we? These last couple years, we've been through 100-some psalms. And we've learned that believers like David, a man after God's own heart, you know, every believer is like David. He's given us a new heart. He's made us a new creature. And we have learned over and over again that salvation is of the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. Salvation is the Lord's doing. I like that statement that's made in Psalm 118. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. It's the Lord's doing. So with that in mind, let's take a look at verse 1, and let's talk about some of these blessings that David praises the Lord for. Bless the Lord. Honor, extol, exalt the Lord. The Lord our God. Notice it's capital L-O-R-D. Remember I've told you before that that is reference to Jehovah. The eternal, everlasting, existent, self-existent, self-sustained, eternal God. God our Savior. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Now, our Lord said to those Pharisees, it's recorded there in Matthew chapter 15, He said, I hear your words, what you say, but I see your heart. I see your heart. Bless the Lord, just not with words, but God not only hears, but He sees our heart. As it really is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's my heart. That's who I really am. In my heart and in my soul. Isn't this our desire? To honor, to exalt, to worship. I get frustrated that I can't bless and honor Him as I ought to. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. All that is within me. Bless His holy name. His name is holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, Thou art holy. We bless His holy name. In Psalm 111, we're going to read the statement where it says, holy and reverend is His name. We don't ever refer to any preacher as Reverend Jones or Reverend Smith. That's God's name. You call me anything you want to, but don't call me Reverend, because I'll probably say something back to you in a way of correction or rebuke. But we do, as believers, we delight to honor the Lord and to bless Him. This is a delightful service and joy of every believer. We do rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. To bless here is to kneel. And it's not physically kneeling. It's to kneel and to worship in your heart. Worship the Lord for all that He is, for all that He has done, for all that He has blessed us with, for all that He is now and forever. Are you familiar with this in Psalm, or rather in Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul said, we bless God who had blessed us. We bless Him who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, three things here. How do we do that? How do we bless the Lord? How do we rejoice in the Lord? How do we exalt and praise the Lord? Well, it says there, O my soul, O my soul. In the heart, that is inwardly and sincerely, we worship God in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So how? Inwardly, sincerely, with adoration and reverence of heart. Why? Secondly, why? He's worthy of it, isn't He? He's worthy of all adoration, worthy of all honor and glory. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, power, glory, and blessing, both now and forever. And when? When should we bless the Lord or honor Him, exalt Him, and worship Him? Well, let's turn back to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and take a look at verse 1. I will, Psalm 34, 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Bless the Lord. When? At all times. At all times. Well, preacher, what do you mean, at all times? Just what I said. At all times. Bless the Lord at all times. At all times. In the morning, in the evening, during the day, during good times, difficult times. When you're up, when you're down. When you're happy, when you're sad. At all times. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. All that is within me. Now, think about this. Let us bless the Lord in our mind. Bless Him. And think upon Him in our mind, in our heart, by submitting unto His Word. Let my thoughts bless the Lord. Let us always think low thoughts of self and high thoughts of God Almighty. Let us bless the Lord in our mind, in our thoughts, by meditating upon Him. Look right across the page at Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 33 and 34. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have any being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. Our meditation of the Lord is sweet. I will be glad in the Lord, rejoicing in Him. Let my mind bless Him by submitting to His Word. Let my thoughts bless Him by meditating upon Him as He's revealed in the Word. Let my affections bless Him by loving what He loves. Let your affection be set on things above, not on the things of this earth. Let my hope bless Him by resting in His precious promises. We have a good hope. Christ in you is a hope of glory. We have a good hope through grace. So, bless the Lord. Now, you got to hold that, haven't you? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. The name of the Lord, who He is. Now, look at verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Forget not. Forget not all His benefits. When we come to the Lord's table, remember what the Lord said? This do in remembrance of me. Forget not all His blessings, His benefits, His blessings unto us. Now, sadly, I'd say you're a whole lot like I am. Sadly, we often remember what we should forget. We remember, we hang on to it. There's some things that I just like to flat forget. Often we remember what we should forget and forget what we should remember. Forget what we should remember. You remember over there in Hebrews chapter 2 where it says, it talks about neglecting that so great salvation. Don't turn. Let me just see if I can get it for you quickly. Where it says, therefore we ought to give heed, more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, let them run out like a leaking bucket. Oh, I tell you, my friend, what a blessed thing a memory is when it's mindful of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has given, all that He has done for us. What kind of benefits or blessing does a believer enjoy? What kind of blessings does a believer enjoy? Everything that God has provided. He's provided fully, completely, all grace now and all glory hereafter. Christ now and Christ forever, we enjoy all the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Of His fullness. What would God have us remember? His fullness. And the blessings we have as we're found in Christ Jesus. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ Jesus we stand complete. Complete in Him. Completely justified. Completely redeemed. Completely forgiven. Completely made whole. Complete. How complete is complete? Complete. Finished. Done. Our Lord said, it is finished. It's done. It's over. So, you know the Lord, it says down here, He knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. He remembers that we're but dust. No wonder He reminds us not to forget all His benefits. He knows we need to be reminded. That's why one of the reasons that we come together all the time, as many times as we come together, as often as we come together, to take the things of God, that we might have our heart, our mind, our memory stirred, motivated to bless Him, to honor Him, and to worship Him. Now, in verse 3 down through verse 17, we have a comprehensive list of these blessings that constantly motivate us, inspire us, inflame our heart, stir us to bless the Lord, to rejoice in Him, to look unto Him for all of salvation. He would have us look to Him, wouldn't He? Isaiah 45, look unto me. All the ends of the earth, I'm God beside me, there is no other, the only just God and Savior. Now, I'm not going to try to wear you out with this, but if you'll stay with me a few minutes, from verse 3 down through verse 17, we have a comprehensive list. The Lord gives us a list of things that we should never forget as believers. I know whom I have believed. Persuaded He's able. He's able. Who, first of all, number one, top of the list, who forgiveth? He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. All iniquities forgiven. Now, there is no doubt we have all sinned against God. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We've all sinned against God. We've all come short of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all come short. We're sinners before God. We have all sinned against God. As David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Here's the blessedness. Now, we can just spend the rest of our time here remembering, meditating, blessing upon what He says right here. God Almighty, who is holy, His name is holy, forgiveth all thine, your sin. Sin, transgression, and iniquity forgiven. Forgiven. Turn over here to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Sin forgiven. Sin put away. Psalm 130. Look at verse 3. Psalm 130 now. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Verse 7. With the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That's good news. Sin put away by the blood sacrifice of Christ Jesus. We read in 1 Peter a moment ago, for as much as you know, and we know this, don't we? We're not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold, tradition, morality, but rather with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this forgiveness and this cleansing, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, it's continual, it's perpetual, it's continual, it's complete, and it's personal. Personal. It says there, thy iniquity. It's personal. Personal. It's continual. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses. Cleanses. Keep right on cleansing. His blood cleanses us from all our sin. It's complete, isn't it? It's complete. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. When He had by Himself purged our sin, He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Why did He sit down? Done. Complete. And this blessed atonement that we have, this forgiveness of sin, all, something else, it's all thine iniquities. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Not some of them. Not the big ones and the little ones we have to take care of. No, all iniquities. All iniquities. That's the blessed man. Turn back here to Psalm 32. That's the blessed man, isn't it? Who is the blessed man? Look at Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's a blessed man. Blessed is a man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. That's the blessed man. That's the blessed man. Well, here's the second thing that he mentions that he would have us bless his name for and not forget. The second blessing he would have us remember and rejoice in, not only iniquities forgiven, all iniquities forgiven. Can you get a hold of that? All thy sin put away, past, present, future, who healeth all thy diseases. Who healeth? He's called in Exodus 15:26 one of his seven names, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Who heals all thy diseases? The only remedy for our terminal and spiritual disease of sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our cleansing. He is our healer. How did He heal us? Well, let's find Isaiah for a moment. Isaiah 53. He took our sin, our iniquity to Himself. He took all of our vile diseases spiritually, our spiritual sin against Him, our sin against Him. That's not a good way of saying that, spiritual, but our spiritual diseases, He taking all of our sin to Himself. Look at verse 4. Surely He had borne our griefs, carried our sorrow. We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Healed. We are healed. Healed. Having our sin put away. He's the Lord, our healer. Now, thirdly, look at verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. Now, let me emphasize something here. Who forgiveth? Who healeth? Who? You see the emphasis? Who? Redeemeth. You know He's a Redeemer who really redeems? Able to save to the uttermost? Who redeemeth thy life from certain and sure destruction. You know that word redeem has the meaning of deliverance. He's called our deliverer who shall deliver all Israel. And He did. He is the Redeemer who redeems with His own blood. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. The Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us from certain and eternal judgment and condemnation. Now, our bodies, this flesh, will one day die. But you know, we're going to have a new body, like unto His glorious body. But our soul at death, what happens to our soul at death? Does it die? No. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from this body, what happens at death? Our body goes back to the dust, but our soul goes to God who gave it. The Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us from death, from destruction. Our Lord said, I am He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Our bodies will die, but we shall never perish. He redeemed our soul from destruction. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, hadn't He? Being made a curse for us. I like what Job said. I know my Redeemer liveth. He liveth. He liveth. He has redeemed us from the judgment of sin by being made sin for us. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And He has redeemed us, not only soul and spirit, but He has redeemed our body as well. Preacher, what do you mean? We're going to have a new body. He's going to change our vile body. He's able to change our vile body and make it fashionate like unto His glorious body. We'll have a new body to enjoy that new heaven and a new earth. He has redeemed us from the grave. Our Lord said, because I live, you shall live. So, forget not His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee. He crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who crowneth thee? Christ crowns us with His loving kindness and with His tender mercy. Whenever I think of that word loving kindness, turn over here to Psalm 51. I think of what David says over here in Psalm 51 verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sins before me. Lord, cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me and crown me with your loving kindness. He has crowned us in that He has redeemed us, made us kings and priests unto our God. Our crowns are not gold, are they? Glory. He's crowned us with glory. Our crowns are not earthly robes, are they? Our crowns are not earthly robes, but rather He has clothed us with the robe of His very righteousness. He has clothed us, it says in Isaiah 63, with the garments of salvation. I like what it says in Revelation chapter 4. It says, we'll cast our crown before His throne, bow and worship before Him, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. You kind of get the idea that salvation's of the Lord, don't you? Bless the Lord, O my soul, who satisfies thy mouth, satisfies your appetite. O taste and see the Lord is gracious, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Satisfies us with good things, great things. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed full of good things we enjoy. The gospel is good news, good things, good news. You know who it's good news to? The guilty. Mercy is for the miserable, grace is for the guilty. He's freely blessed us with all things, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. God who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us most things? All things. Now, I say those things on purpose just to kind of catch your attention. He doesn't just bless us and freely give us with most things. He gives us all things freely. Justified, one of my favorite verses in all God's Word. One of them I said. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified freely. He's blessed us. He's satisfied us with good things. The gospel is full of good things. Pressed down and running over. Good things of grace. So much so that we are renewed. We are renewed. The good things of the gospel renew us. New covenant. He makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. The outward man is perishing, isn't it? But the inward man is renewed day by day. Look at this scripture over here in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You know, when we talk about strength, being strong and having strength in the Lord, in Ephesians chapter 3, look at this carefully here. It says in verse 14 of Ephesians 3, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man," in that new man, in that renewed new nature. We've been partakers of a divine nature. Now, one other scripture on that that might help us understand what he's saying. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So when Paul prays for the church there in Ephesus, where he says, "I bow the knee and pray for you that you would be strengthened," he doesn't really pray for the strength being strengthened for this old fleshly man, this old fleshly nature, but rather that you would be strengthened inwardly in that spiritual nature, in that new nature, that we might grow in grace in the knowledge of Christ. Now look what it says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 15, "For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many," 2 Corinthians 4, 15, "redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Day by day, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Now, wash your ears out with this. God's people grow old and weary in body. We do. We do. When I see run into some folks I haven't seen for a long time, they look at me and say, "Brother Tom, what happened? What happened to you?" You know, this old body's frail, weak. God's people grow old and weary in body, but they never grow weary of the gospel of God's grace. It's new and refreshing and reviving more now than when I first believed. That's what growth in grace is all about. It's growing less and less and less. We think less of our... Here's what John says. "He must increase. I must decrease. I must decrease." You see, the believer never wearies of hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize this body is frail. He says in this text that the Lord remembers our frame. He knows that we are but dust. But that inward man is renewed day by day. He's strengthened. That's why he said, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word." And that's what believers do, that we might grow thereby. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6 back in our text. "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed," sinners. This word here, executeth, is accomplish. The Lord does accomplish righteousness and judgment for all of His covenant people. Righteousness and judgment appointed, accomplished, and bestowed in Christ Jesus. Righteousness. The Lord has accomplished righteousness for us by His obedience. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By the obedience of another shall many be made righteous. The Lord accomplished righteousness for us, and He freely gives it to us. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputes righteousness without work. And judgment. The Lord has executed judgment for His covenant people. How's He executed judgment? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. What happened at Calvary that day? Judgment. Judgment. Judgment on account of somebody's sin. Now the Lord had no sin of His own, knew no sin, did no sin. But the Lord laid on Him our iniquity. God made Him to be sin for us. And where sin was found, what happened? Judgment fell. The wrath of God fell. And my friend, He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now, look at verse 7 in our text. Now, who knows about sin forgiven, being healed, being redeemed, being satisfied, being renewed? Who knows about having sin judged in Christ? Who knows about having righteousness established in the Lord Jesus Christ? Who knows all about this? Look at verse 7. He made known His ways of mercy. Revealed His ways of mercy unto Moses. Unto His people. Unto Moses. Believers like Moses. Moses, our Lord said, wrote of me. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. The Lord made known, revealed unto Moses the way of mercy, the way of grace. His acts unto the children of Israel. When they saw God acting in strict, holy justice, all they saw was the wrath of God, the wrath of God. There was no revelation to them of God's mercy and grace in Christ Jesus. He made known His ways to Moses. And that's what He does to us in mercy, through the preaching of the gospel. You know what He does? He makes His way known unto us through the preaching of the gospel. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Now, let me see if I can tell you a story that'll help you remember verse 7. Back years ago when Pastor Mahan was just a young lad, maybe in his 20s, maybe in his early 30s, he had a preacher friend. It was an old, wise, veteran preacher of God's grace. His name was Rolf Barnard. Many of you have listened to his sermons. Brother Mahan was sitting with Brother Barnard one time, and they were sitting down front and in a worship service, and they were getting ready for the worship service, and Barnard reached over and gave him one of those in the ribs. He said, hey, he called him Mahan. He said, hey, Mahan. He said, have you ever noticed verse 7 there in Psalm 103? He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. Sovereign mercy, sovereign grace. Well, I've never forgot that, and every time I read that verse, I think about that elbow in the rib. Mahan, have you ever seen this? Maybe God will be pleased to make His way known unto us. Christ, who is the way, the truth, the life. Now, let's read on. I'm not going to be able to finish this psalm, but again, thinking about the Lord's mercy unto us and blessing the Lord. Look at verse 8 down through verse 12. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Grace is unmerited favor. Mercy, not giving me what I do deserve. Grace, God graciously showing favor and granting and giving me all blessings in Christ Jesus. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. He's slow to anger. He's long-suffering. He's plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Now here's mercy and grace revealed. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor did He reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west. That's a fur piece, isn't it? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Why? The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. As far as the east is from the west, He so far removed our sin by His sovereign mercy, His sovereign grace, that He says in the book of God, their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. Cast behind God's back. As far as the east is from the west, He's removed. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who removed all thy transgression from us. He's the Father that pities His children. The Lord pitieth them that fear Him. This fear here is not a slavish fear. It's a holy, reverent fear. It's that fear that God said, I will be their God and they shall be my people. I'll give them one way and one heart. And I'll teach them to fear the Lord. I put my fear in their heart. So the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, those that believe Him. He knows our frame. He knows, He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field that, as grass, as the flower of the field, so it flourishes. The wind passes over it, it's gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But, there's that key word in Scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love with wherewith He loved us. But the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. You know, He's the everlasting God. It says in Psalm 90 or 91, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. And His righteousness unto the children's children. Who are those that fear the Lord? I'll have you turn to one Scripture, and I'm going to close with this one Scripture. Turn over here to Jeremiah 32. Those who fear the Lord are those covenant people given to Christ Jesus in that covenant of grace. Jeremiah 32:38. They shall be my people. I will be their God. I'll give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. For the good of them and the children after them and their children after them, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from them to do them good. I put my fear in their heart. They shall not depart from me. I will be their God, and they shall be my